And I'm Reggie.
Actually, that's James Earl Jones.
I'm your father.
And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks.
R&B Talks.
Yeah, well, so I got a thing.
I got a cold.
I got a throat thing. It's been a week. I'm still here. Still coughing. Still sound like I've smoked Marlboros for 30 years and I don't know. So here
you
I am.
You sound like the narrator of a Discovery Animal Planet documentary.
I know. And over here, the majestic African elephants.
So, Reggie,
as they protect their young.
What's been on your mind this week?
Oh, man. Here's one thing, how people look at inanimate objects as being sentient.
Please explain.
Yeah, like you know, blame the rock for being there and tripping over it, you know, or the best one is the since I play video games and stuff, so the best one is the blaming the video game for everything, you know. I love that. It's so annoying. It's like funny at first and then it's continual, so then some of these people get so riled up about it.
Don't they though?
And it's just, you know, games cheating and all this stuff. And it's just so silly, man.
It's just a video game, man.
It's just like, wow, you know, just because you just suck, dude. Get over it, man.
You suck or it's just a video game. Like, I will hear, like, guys at work complaining about, you know, playing Call of Duty and people, I don't know what it is, modding? Modding, that's how old my gaming knowledge is. I don't know what modding is.
It's not it. They got different hacks that they people actually write these things to like overlay different various games for either like auto aim or, you know, seeing through all the, they do all kinds of stuff, right? It's stupid. Like they have this thing where, you know, that it'll just automatically zip to the critical spot or whatever, and it's just silly.
Question being, for me, doesn't that take some of the fun out of the game? Like,
I don't know.
All right, so
I've never used any of it, so I wouldn't even think to, because I'm like trying to play the game. I mean, you know, that's the point of the game.
Look, man,
the game's already messed up enough. I don't need to add something to it, you know.
It's no secret that I love Red Dead Redemption. Love it. And there are all kinds of like cheat codes that you can download, or you can get unlimited weapons, but I won't use them because it takes all the fun and challenge out of the game.
Well, like so what's the Destiny 2 is the one I'm still playing it, but I wouldn't think like me having the ability to just snap to something else and like, I don't know, just, I don't know. No, I want to move around. I want to like,
yeah.
Not have infinite ammo and all this crap.
You want to explore and do the challenges.
Well, it's just, challenged. I mean, but like at the same token, like what does it matter if you win, if you had to do something else that they weren't doing in order to do so? Like it just, that's not competitive to me. That's just, it's just lame. But
speaking of video games, did you know that surgeons who play video games at least 4 hours a week have 25% less likely a chance of making a mistake during a surgery than surgeons who do not?
We actually said that.
Yeah. Huh?
We said that in the last episode.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Elon Musk pointed that out when he was on Rogan.
That's nuts, man. That's nuts.
Well, you got all kinds of things that
come into that. Hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, I mean. Well, there's a stigma. I mean, sure, it's not good to sit in some place for
12, 16
hours playing a video game. But it's not like, it doesn't mean the entire video games are like the devil and they're not for anybody.
Yeah, I may play video games, but usually hour or two is what I'll put in. Then I'm kind of done. I only play maybe once, twice a month.
See, like, I play... Well, I don't know. I don't even know how much, because it varies, because it depends on who gets on anymore. There's a group of us that have a Discord server, so we get, you know, we're in there. I'm in there every day, but it depends on who gets on, what I'm doing. I could just sit there and read, and, you know, just listen to their whatever they're doing or asking, having a conversation, or I could be sitting there watching YouTube and be on the Discord server or whatever, or playing Destiny or what, Call of Duty or whatever the hell anybody needs help with. But I'm not like, you know, okay, look, I like gaming, man. I really do, and I don't feel bad about doing it. And I think a lot of women get a little miffed about their husbands doing that. But at the same token, I think that those are the same women who expect a man to be different than what a man is.
Yeah.
But, and it's going into our topic, though, the thing about video games now is that it's just full of porn.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, there's... I mean,
because it's just, look at Cyberpunk. There's like, that was ridiculous. I didn't even play it because it was like, no, I'm not going to engage in that kind of depravity, I suppose.
Well, but I think that's, for me, I like games where I don't face the things I face every day. And I face, you know, sexual imagery constantly all day, every day. One example you and I have used repeatedly is I follow three things on Instagram. I follow some ministers that I like. I follow some foodies that I like. And I follow fail videos because, quite honestly, they're hilarious. But if I open up my Instagram and I go to the suggested page, it is nothing but sexual images, women half dressed, and I'm like, and I'm weird in the sense to a lot of people because they'll go, well, don't you look at that stuff? Well, no, my wife satisfies those things for me.
Well, like, let's just be so. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about sexual morality, immorality, sexuality as a whole,
general, yeah,
today, because in particular though. We live in a porn culture.
Yes.
We got to understand that. There are, like, the way, what's fashionable to wear, what we're expected to be.
Yeah.
As both men and women, what we're expected to do and all this stuff. And our sexual nature is a big part of what culture tells us what we're supposed to be into and do. Yeah. So here's some, I did pull this, Pornhub is like the biggest, most common used pornography site, in the world. I didn't know that. It had 3,184,000,000 hits in January of 2024 alone in this country.
Well, imagine what it is worldwide.
Well, I know the chart. I downloaded the chart because it caught me so off guard with that. So if that doesn't illuminate a problem, I don't know what would. I mean,
let's be clear. Let's be clear. Now, a lot of guys. And I don't think there's a man alive that hasn't looked at a pornographic image at one point or another.
Can't fathom.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays.
But a lot of it, too, comes from, you know, we came from a very conservative society where, you know, sex was taboo to talk about. And then we rolled into the 80s where, you know, I think you kind of started to see some of the, even in music and movies and celebrity, you started to see a lot of the androgyny that was turning with, you know, men in makeup and hair bands and a lot of movies with, you know, I know the gay character began to be a mainstay in the 80s. And then we started, you know, the HIV epidemic and let's be clear. You know, the HIV epidemic was labeled as a gay disease. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think it got transmitted through a certain people group because they were not safe and were doing things they shouldn't be doing. But I don't necessarily think it was some kind of, you know, cursed gay disease. I don't think that's true. As a matter of fact, there was a study that said that in the 90s and the 2000s, there are actually more heterosexual men and women that have HIV than homosexual women. So, or men and women. So it's not, I don't think that's it. And I think in the 90s is when you really begin to see the push for, you begin to see girls wearing short shorts and bras for shirts and, you know, the onset of rap music where it became cool to be dressed in almost nothing. And I look at today, and when I go out into the public, as a father, I even encourage my sons to dress modestly.
Yep.
I cannot fathom in the depths of me what someone's justifications for allowing their daughter to dress the way girls dress right now. And I think that's part of it, too, is we went from being completely taboo and everything kind of hidden and you don't talk about that to being just all bets are off, right? Like you can wear what you want, do what you want. And let me be clear, and this is for men. I need to communicate this.
Do we need to have a drinking game while we're having this to say, like, everybody take a shot when you say, let me be clear?
Yeah, we will be drunk already. That's okay. But what I'm saying is men are creatures, we're kind of built for that, right? So, you know, if you show a hungry man a steak, he's going to think about eating it. Well, if you parade your wife or your daughters out in public with almost nothing covering them, what do you think is going to happen? It's in the nature of the man.
Yeah. I've given a lot of thought to some of this stuff. Because for so long, I was a depraved porn addict and all this stuff. I still say I'm a porn addict because, I mean, I don't think it ever goes away. Like, I think it's like anything else where you have to accept it and throw it down at the feet of the cross every day and deal with it. But I'll say that the whole culture in general, the commercials we have, what we have in typical shows and stuff, even in cartoons and kids stuff, like even it infests that kind of platforms and stuff. I mean, you know, so dude, like leggings aren't pants.
Yeah.
For one, now. Here's what I thought about, and I had a conversation with my wife about this a little bit, but like if we had a period of time where we could detox from all the overstimulation, it's possible that we could come back around and probably be okay with something like people wearing their workout clothes, like having their butts hanging out, and men wouldn't be so triggered.
Yeah.
But the problem is that we are constantly triggered at the moment. Everywhere you look, there is a stimulation for that, for the anything like that. And even for females too. I don't mean to just say men, but I know we're primarily speaking for men here, but it's a problem, man. I mean, I don't, it is, if you're trying to stay and keep your thoughts, you know, on the level, out of the gutter, it's a constant thing you have to do in this day and age. Now, I think it, like some of this stuff, like a midriff wouldn't be as triggering if you were not to be at this heightened level of sexualization that we have in the culture. Mm-hmm. So dealing with what we have now, though, that's a hypothetical because we can't, I mean, no, we're not going backwards, right? Yeah. I mean, there's been scantily clad men and women throughout history and all kinds of different things and whatever the case may be. And like, you know, showing your ankles at one point was like a big no-no, right? But where we're at now, though, I think it's just a lack of consideration. It's a lack of like, we don't care what we wear. It's your fault how you interpret, how you perceive this.
Yeah.
You know, no, that's not.
Well,
do you have a part in that?
Yeah. I mean, my faculties are mine for sure. Right. Like I know what I should or should not be looking at, but for men, it's a constant battle against their nature. You know, I mean, I go to a gym and I go to the gym quite often. I I have gotten to the point where I drive my focus directly into what I'm doing, because if I didn't, there's distractions all around you. Right. Like, and I'm not, and look, I've often, you know, the most famous thing I've ever heard was a comedian who said, it was Dave Chappelle who told the joke, which is actually, to me, it's a lot of truth to it. And that's, you may not be a hooker, but you're wearing a hooker's uniform, right? Like, and let me be clear, the most attractive women are the women who leave something to the imagination. Like, I don't want you rolling around. I mean, if you're going to show it all, what do you have to offer in that vein after it's over? Like, you've already pretty much given them the preview of everything you have, you know?
Well, yes, but I understand, like, wanting to be comfortable and be able to move freely and that kind of thing. I mean, I get it, but what I'm saying is, don't be surprised if in 2024, which is where we're at right now,
yep,
that dudes aren't looking at you if you're wearing that. Conversely too, for men, if you're coming in there and you're wearing like a little bicycle short type of thing, no shirt on, and you're sitting there, you know, you're pretty in shape, women are going to look at you, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's just, yeah, that's what happens. We are wired for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, you know, men, I can't speak to women really in this nature. Cause I mean, I know intimately what it is about being a man and how that is. And I've done a lot of research and reading over time about like what how our brains are wired for this kind of stuff to help me deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It does me no good to just sit there and say, well, just, I mean, because I'm a Christian, that says one thing. But I wanted to know physiologically, like what my brain is doing. So if you look at explicit material, it starts rewiring your neurons in your brain. Your pathways do change. So the more you watch it, the more they do. And this can really, it is, you are very much changing how you perceive reality by engaging in explicit material stuff.
Yeah. And that's any explicit material.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Videos, pictures,
violence. Literally watch violence constantly, it'll rewire your brain, you know? So it's, I think one of the problems we have is the definition of human sexuality has been skewed so badly that it's kind of like, what is human sexuality? And it's been given, like a lot of other things in our current time, it's been given this broad spectrum of terminology.
Yeah.
When it really is all about, it's the way people experience and express themselves sexually, which can include a wide range of feelings and behaviors, biological, physiological, physical, erotic, emotional, social, and spiritual. So it touches on a lot of things, but the definition is there for human sexuality. But I think a lot of the gray areas of human sexuality comes from our current society, where we don't have clear definitions of men and women anymore.
No.
So that skews that even more, right? Like, if men can be women and women can be men, how can we define human sexuality when there's no definable definition of where we're supposed to stand with it?
My thing is too, I'll just say this plain. I mean, like if we go and say your genitalia doesn't matter, it's what you feel like, mm-hmm. then why do you need to change your genitalia at all in order to be something that you're not?
Yeah.
That's always plagued me. Like, why, if that doesn't matter, then why are you going through the problem of changing things?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
If you're emotionally fully vested in the fact that you're something else, then nothing else should really matter.
But not only that, look, I will say this plain, that I do think gender dysphoria is something that needs to be treated. I think if you look at the suicide rate of transgenders and people like that. That obviously is not a healthy mental state. That's not the solution. Doesn't matter if they're pre, post, op, whatever, doing whatever. The statistics tell that is not a healthy mental state to be in.
No,
you don't have that if it's a healthy mental state. If that truly solves something by being recognized as something you're not, then you would see that different. It would clear up this stuff, but it doesn't. It makes it worse.
Yeah. Muddies the water even more.
And I mean, look, I'm no psychiatric professional or anything else. This is just from, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to go look and read some of the material, like especially pre-militant agenda. There's been several of the most prominent one who dealt in this kind of thing for like decades was ostracized because, you know, his research and everything said this was a, you know, something that needed to be taken. Anyway, I won't go into all that, but I'm just saying. So as far as from where we're standing, Brian, the biblical idea of sexuality is what we got to be looking at.
Yeah. Well, and the Bible has a specific view of sexuality.
It does.
It is that it's a gift from God and should be expressed with joy within a marriage between a man and a woman. Some of the sub, you know, and I sent you all this so we could post all this. The Bible describes sexuality as a gift from God to the first married couple created to unite them for pleasure and procreation. It's within marriage. The Bible teaches that sexual intercourse is reserved for marriage and that sex is more than physical pleasure. It binds two people together, body and soul, and involves other people. Biblically bounded relationships. Sexuality should be expressed in biblically bounded relationships, and it should lead to a deeper understanding of ourselves, others, and God. Affirmation. Sexuality needs to be affirmed and lived whether we are single or married, meaning that if you take this stance of I'm not going to have sex till I'm married, that should be lived through your life, should be shown. Gratitude. Sexuality is a valuable gift from God to be received with gratitude. The Bible also teaches that bodies are good and that manliness is characterized through that. So there's so many different things that the Bible says about it. But I think a couple of things we need to be clear about is the Bible is clear about the existence of a sexual relationship between a man and a woman, married man and a woman, that it's more than just the act of sex. And I, you know, in studying this a little bit, what I've figured out is, you know, sex, the language of sexual congress between a man and a woman are different for each side. Men are not emotional creatures. So sex for us is the way we feel closest to our partner. That's how we feel like we are closest to them at that point. Women, it's a more emotional connection. But I think the only way for it to be effective is both sides to recognize that those are the patterns, right? That's how we're built. It's not a mistake that that's the way it is. So yeah. I think a lot of times, you know, you'll hear this between people. Well, you only want sex because you want to be physical and yeah, that's how men are built. The physicality of it is part of what makes us feel close to our partner. It's not a lust thing in that sense. It's, you know, it's the pinnacle of our connection to our spouse.
Yeah. We have a physical need for it.
Yeah. I
mean, there's more to it, but there is a physical component to it. Yes.
And then you'll hear men say, well, you don't want to have it very often. You seem cold. Well, there's an emotional component for them, right? That if you're not meeting it, it's not good for them as well. So you got to recognize that although both sides are partaking, the reasons may be different. Right. So
the Bodhi Bakum said that he made a point, and I think this is pretty valid. Men God formed, right? He took the earth and the clay and formed it and made man out of it. Right.
Yeah.
But women he fashioned. That's a distinction that is completely relevant.
Yep.
Right? We were formed out of you know, from the dust we came and we were formed. But then God fashioned the woman. So, yes, those are distinct different verbs that is in the Bible about how men and women were created. And I think it's important because it illuminates even from the very get-go the distinction between men and women. Now, also, too, when we talk about, because we've talked about headship and leadership of men and stuff like that and how that's ingrained into our biblical idea of a man and all that stuff. The one place that it says is mutual submission is sex. Mm-hmm. That's the one time that God says it's a mutual submission. It's two-way. Matter of fact, if you dig into it a little bit in biblical terms, we're supposed to look after the pleasures of our wives first, really. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And second to that is, and the same goes for the wife. The wife looks after our pleasure in that scenario, right? It's kind of the one real clear point in our existence where we are completely and totally 50-50 mutual, period. You know, every other place we are headship. That doesn't mean don't get riled up. It doesn't mean that women don't have extreme value, which we've already said that in many other places. But in sex, though, is the place where it's a mutual submissive activity that is meant for both.
Yes,
that's pretty clear.
Well, I think that part of this discussion needs to be. And for me, this is the part that I find that people struggle with is the difference between morality in sex and immorality in sex. Because I think that's really where the lines are blurred in our current society. And, you know, people all the time will say, well, sexual immorality is rape or incest or pedophilia. Well, you're right. Those are sexually immoral things, but it covers a lot of other things like adultery, like sexual abuse. And there are several forms of sexual abuse that exist. Also, sexual immorality is withholding a physical relationship from your partner as a weapon.
Yes.
Right. That's sexually immoral. Because it is a 50-50 sacrificial thing. The word sacrificial is important there. But yes. When you use the sexual relationship with your partner as a weapon to get your way, then you are being sexually immoral. I think that, you know, pornography is sexually immoral. mainly because you're giving away something God-given for an audience. I don't think that was something that was ever meant to happen.
I don't remember which one it is now. There's a verse, and it's probably one of the ones I have tagged, but I wrote so many down that I don't know which one was which. My bad.
It's okay.
There's one.
When I pulled this up and started studying, there are oceans of information here.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, because I think it gets too cloudy. And here's the thing. You got to be a little bit specific here. Excuse me. So I will say, so there's a difference between being a prude and just in being proper with your sexual relationship with your spouse. Okay. What I mean by that is like, it's not about, you know, positions and stuff like that. I mean, there are some probably sexual activity that is considered immoral. Let me say, even between a man and a woman. I think the one argument you could make is sodomy. But even that is debated. On what that is, right? Or if that's allowed or not. There's some sects of Christianity that will say it's only, you know, there's only certain ways you can do things or whatever. But I think you get a little in the weeds on some of that stuff. Most of the time, I really would encourage people just to say, like, if it's a loving, non-hurtful, type of thing. I think when you get into, like, the bondage type of stuff and things like that, I don't think that's good either.
Well, because
it's changing roles and doing some things that it's not quite how God designed this relationship to be, right? So there's that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there's, you know, like, you know, a very simple way to look at it is if you wouldn't talk to your wife about it in public, you probably don't want to do it in private.
Well,
you know,
I mean, it goes farther beyond that. Cause I mean, I know people who are pretty brash and they don't really care, but I mean, I think if it blurs some kind of line,
yeah. If it becomes,
yeah. And I mean, but also too, part of what gets to this point where there's a question is I think discernment is missing. And that illuminates a point where you may not be your relationship with Christ is not healthy.
Yeah.
Like you have some kind there's something you're not actively engaging and seeking and all this stuff that you should be in order to find it, like to have this discernment in what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's quite possible. Matter of fact, it's one of the things that like, John Piper says is like, you know, the deepest cure for lust is to be intellectually and emotionally staggered by God. So like, if you're really engaged with your walk with Christ and stuff, and that's where your focus is, that tends to push away some of this crap that you have from the world. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that goes to though saying that things of the nature of sexual activity will be discerned if you're properly aligned in your normal everyday life. Right.
I mean, I agree with that.
I think that's going to happen.
So question, Reggie. We would define sexual immorality, things that would be sexually immoral. What would sexual morality be? What would be being sexually moral? How would you define that?
There are three purposes for biblical sex, right? Procreation, for intimacy and closeness, as you would say, and pleasure, right?
Yes.
So the problem being is that pleasure point becomes twisted by what we see or what we have allowed to infect into that. So what I would define sexual morality is that it sticks to the marriage bed between a man and a woman that is mutually submissive and pleasurable between the two individuals, both man and woman, that there's not a, intention of malice in that, and that it's not, there's nothing more to it than just what it is. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's kind of where it lands. I mean, sexual morality is just aligning your marital sexual activity with what God has designed it to be.
Is it sexually moral to discuss what happens in the bedroom outside the bedroom?
Okay. Being prideful, no. I mean, we're not supposed to do that anyway. Because that's what we're boasting about. Now, if you have a car, I've actually talked to my wife about this too. Because I said, look, I mean, I know this is a, I just want you to be clear what I'm okay with. Pretty much anything. You can talk about whatever. I don't care. If it helps somebody, because I mean, you know, there's a lot of people have a lot of questions and a lot of things, and and there's a lot of stuff that, that really should be, but they don't want to talk about it because, ooh.
I would say that the right answer to that would be in a, if it's in a, if it's in the vein of helping someone else find a healthy sexual expression within a Christian marriage, yes.
Right.
If it is for bragging rights or purposes, absolutely not.
It's a, your intent of that conversation. If that intent of that conversation is to lift you up or to put someone else down or to put your spouse down or to, like, if there's some ill intent behind it, no, yeah. No, absolutely not. That's not okay. But I mean, even if you're just talking and joking around or whatever, I don't care. Right. I mean, as long as it's not defamation, you know, yeah. What I'm saying? Like, I know I've had couples that I knew where, they like to almost poke fun at their body parts, you know. It's just, but like it was like putting them down to, you know, talking about size and shapes of things and stuff.
Yeah.
In a weird, I'm trying to be funny way, but it's not, that's not cool. You know, I've known a lot of guys who want to talk about every escapade and every detail about what they do.
Yeah.
No, that's not cool either.
As a matter of fact, this is going to sound, I don't mean to sound like high and mighty, but when that discussion starts, if I'm around it, I put as much space between myself and that discussion as I possibly can. And the reason for that is I don't ever speak ill of my wife in any way to anyone. I don't feel like that's the, any problems that my wife and I have are to be had between her and I, regardless of what the problem is. And I feel like that is a way of speaking ill about your spouse, that you are talking to other men about her willingness or unwillingness to do something that you want to do. To me, that's demeaning your spouse. I don't need to know those things. Now, if I'm a counselor and you're there to get my help, but when you're at work and there's a group of guys and you just start spouting stuff off, absolutely not.
Well, I think that, okay, there's a line, but I think there's a line there.
Yeah.
Because I think we should get away from the taboo of talking about stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you always should be able to talk
about things. Well, but I also think there's a time and a place, right?
Like, well, sure. Like, if you're, I'm not going to be at work and talking about, like, oral sex with somebody and, like, hey, how do you get, you know, that's absurd.
That's just not a conversation.
But, like, if you really had someone, you were at, like, you're at their house or something and you're talking and it was just you and a buddy and you were like, man, how do you, you know, and you're talking about something. How does your wife handle this? Or do you guys do this? Yeah. And you find this, that's fine. Right. Yeah,
that's all about context, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it has everything to do with where, like what you're doing at the time. Like, are you conversing that in, like I said, in a malicious manner or just trying to be funny or something?
And not to mention the fact that I treat that like I treat telling people about money and things like that. If I go and tell a group of guys, hey, my wife does this and is willing to do this, is one of those guys going to show up at my door? Is one of those guys going to take that as an invitation?
Well, you got to know these people, man. I mean,
well, like, a lot of times they don't. They'll just spout.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're creating a dangerous scenario there. You know, perception is their reality. And if you give them a perception that there is a possibility that your wife would participate in something like that, men are definitely
interested
on the point. lesser vein of control in that situation. Right. So I also believe it's a thing of safety, you know?
Well, here's an example. whenever if you're out in the world enough, obviously you get in, or if you have friends that aren't Christians or whatever, there's all kinds of lewd conversations that occur.
Yeah.
So, especially one where they talk about like, oh, he's probably watching, you know, stuff he shouldn't or whatever. Or what were you doing? Like the other day, here's the thing. I was on when I got to Discord, this is really where I see a bunch of people. What were you doing, Reggie? Looking at some wrong material? They didn't use that word. They used something else. And I mean, so what I responded was, of course not. I'm married and my wife takes care of business. I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's how I respond to that. I don't respond to it in any more detail way other than that.
I'm not writing you a novel.
No, but you got to know, I don't do that. My wife and I lift. I'm trying to say, no, my wife is elevated to that stance. She doesn't, she does her job. I do mine. And that's all there is to it. Right.
Yeah.
That's as far as that goes. Now they'll go into all kinds of other details about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any part of it.
Yeah.
So I'll say that. Now I've had very much conversations with other dudes. Women, I think you got to be careful of when you start talking between stuff like that, like talking to someone else's like wife. Like for me,
I think you need to have another person present for that.
Yeah, you don't want to, because that gets easily twisted and misconstrued and everything else. But I've had many conversations with other brothers that would be like, you know, do you think that's okay? You know, this particular thing or whatever. And it's not, they're not. Seeking anything other than just, they're just trying to get, make sure.
Trying to figure out if they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Or that's a good, like, conversation. Hey, to have.
My wife is, we're having this huge trouble with this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, you're just talking to a brother about a problem.
Yeah.
Or not. It's just like, hey, I have this question. That's fine.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't go any farther than that.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't become this.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's important to know though.
Yeah.
Now, again, this goes back to being grounded in scripture, being grounded in the gospel. Like, you'll know if you're really, I think I'm pretty good at this at this point, right? Now I'll know when someone starts to talk and it's too
much,
or it seems the wrong intention. Yeah. I usually can say, whoa. That's enough, right?
Yeah.
You will know that. But again, this all goes back to the more time you spent focusing on the gospel, on your walk with Christ, and then you take the muddiness of this situation, of all of this stuff goes away. It's much clearer. What you do in the bedroom, what you don't do in the bedroom, how you talk to people, everything else has to be rooted in the gospel.
Yeah.
Okay.
True.
So here's, I mean, let me get a little specific here. The Bible has some to say about sexuality, but it's not like it gives you a complete detailed, like, schematic.
There's no biblical Kama Sutra.
No, but you have Song of Psalms and, you have all of these books of the books of love. I mean, you have a lot of books that do really illustrate that it's okay and that it's something that should be part of the marital experience and all this kind of stuff. But so I just want to get back to this a little bit. There's nothing that says a position is biblical or not. There's nothing that says a certain way you or your partner is positioned has nothing to do with what biblically moral sexual behavior is. Let me just make sure that's abundantly clear. There's nothing that says that, right? Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. There are, there's not even types of that between individuals. There's not really clear, like, what's okay. And what I mean by that is anything other than like a missionary thing or whatever. There's other activities that aren't specifically said yay or nay. So again, this is where the mutual submission and pleasure between the two individuals has to be taken into account and discernment applied from your relationship with Christ. Okay. And I don't want to really get into really a lot more specifics than that, just because this is a show we're putting on YouTube. Yeah,
we don't want to get into the units and things like that. No. Well, but what I would say to that would be, if someone were to ask me what was okay, I would say whatever is mutually agreed upon between the two of you, that is between just the two of you, that both derive pleasure from and don't feel ashamed when it's over.
Yeah. And I mean, there was this Matt Chandler actually gave a pretty specific question and answer thing in one of his sermons years ago. I was not able to find it, but he went into specifics, types and positions, all kinds of stuff were asked. So I would definitely say that, you know, you can find the answers to those questions by some people who are out there. Right. but it is, you just got to understand that it's an activity that God intended to be purposeful.
Well, I would also say that this is such a vastly important thing in a biblical marriage that it can be way, way overthought too. Mm-hmm. So you have to really focus on, there's obvious points in the Bible, right? You know, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, man with man and woman with woman, and that God saw that these things weren't good and all these things. And that it talks about, you know, running away from sexual immorality and things like that. So there are definite, you know, I think it's Corinthians that talks about running away from sexual morality. But yes, there are definite markers within the Bible that will tell you. I mean, if you really want to look at sexual immorality, Song of Solomon. I mean, that guy, Solomon dabbled in every pleasure known to man and always found his way back to God, right? Because
till the end.
So you have to know that if you want the information, it's in there, but it's not, there's no manual, right? There's no, you know, book of sexual orientation, and it's talked about just like, you know, sin is talked about and marriage is talked about. It's touched on in a way where we can derive an understanding from it, but it's not, you know, written out, here's A, B, C through G that's wrong. It's, and I also believe that there's something within us. You know, if we have the Holy Spirit and there's something within us, we'll know what's wrong. We'll know what's displeasing to God.
So one other aspect of this is how we deal with sexual temptation. And I think this is a very critical, very apt thing to talk about because it's everywhere. Like we already discussed, right? So you can get many different answers to that question. If you're into porn and like how to get out of it or whatever, you can find 100 different answers easily. And there's really no clear do exactly this.
Yeah.
Except the one that matters, and I have to stress this enough, is rooting your reality into Christ, period. If you're not reading the word, if you're not praying, if you're not actively trying to seek wisdom in him and everything else, this will be an unyielding battle you will never win.
Well, I think some of that falls into, you know, the difference between truth and transparency. And I think this is important, especially for married couples. And what I mean by that is, truth is, my wife comes to me and says, where were you yesterday? And I say, Well, I went out to lunch with people from work. That's truth, right? But I feel like truth a lot of times is a reaction. But what I try to be is transparent. Yeah. I'm going out to lunch today with these three people from work. One of them is a lady. She will be there. There will be other guys there. This is where we're going. That way, that gives my wife the opportunity to ask any questions that she needs to ask or voice any concerns that she might have. She may just go, well, that's fine. Or she may go, well, what's the lunch about? Why are you guys going here? Why are these people going? And she has a right to ask those questions, right? Especially as a married couple, you know, I think it's always better to be transparent. And the second rule I follow is I just avoid anything that could be construed, even if it's innocent, as misbehavior. I don't spend a lot of time with a woman alone. I always try to make sure that there's someone else there and present so that there's no ambiguity or risk of misconception. I am aware of who I am and what my nature is. And I know that if I want to avoid the pitfalls of my nature, that there are certain things that I need to do.
Yes.
To make sure. And this is, I've known your wife as long as you've known your wife. But because I respect you and your marriage, I would never come here while you weren't here and spend an extended period of time with your wife simply because it could be misconstrued by somebody who has nothing to do with it. Right. It's not always that you're doing something wrong. It's other people's interpretation of what you're doing. Right. So I just find that it's very, very powerful tool for me to not put myself in those situations. Now, it's different if you're hanging out with your mother-in-law, you know, if you're it's your sister. But when it comes to someone's wife or fiance or significant other, There are rules you should follow that keeps there from being any ambiguity or risk of behavior being misinterpreted.
Yeah, well, especially if there's a trigger.
Yeah.
So let's say that someone's, how would I put this, right?
Let's say someone's been cheated on before.
Well, no, what I mean is, like, let's say someone's wife is your ideal looking female.
Yeah.
Like she looks exactly how you had ever pictured you're the most beautiful woman in the world being.
Yeah.
And you have a problem with lust.
Yeah.
Which 99% of the guys probably do.
Yeah.
Then that should tell you, I need to do whatever I can in order to not see it that way.
Yeah.
I agree. So that's not hanging out with her in any fashion, like, where there be, you're not going to avoid that if it's a friend of yours, right? But I mean, yeah. you should work to the point where that is not a problem. But I know a lot of guys who that's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think part of that for me anyway is like looking at things as everybody's made the image of God. Everybody's has they're like children of Him. Not that you're just chicks. Yeah. They're just women. Yeah. There's more to it than that, right? So that's kind of how I've approached stuff like that. Knowing that, like, if you have a lust problem, you don't go to a strip club.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
There are guys, though, there's ministries now that do help the workers and stuff like that. I forgot what they're called now, but like, I could never do that. That's not part of my ability to tolerate that now. Well, maybe now I could, 10 years ago, no, but probably now I probably could. I'm probably okay with that. But here's what, okay. Let me, that brings me to what I was going to say, really. Dealing with sexual temptation is, for me, it's going to be a lifelong journey, but I've gotten better at it over time. It doesn't mean I'll fail. It doesn't mean I don't fail, but it does mean that it's more consistently not than yes. Yeah. Anymore. So there's good days and bad, but I guess what I would just say, like, for men especially, don't feel like it's going to be done in a just immediately. It's a, you have to work at
it. It's a journey. It's a journey to deal with those things.
And you, as you get older too, as a man, you there, your body does change. And so it's not so riled up all the time. I mean, like hell, when you're a teenager, that's like, it's impossible, you know, to be a, it's just this holy cow.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine going through puberty again. What the crap?
Even your early 20s, late teens,
you're like just you're riled just, up.
You're on fire all the time.
All the fun, all the time.
Yeah.
So I'd say like, you know, it helps to be older and it does help to be, you know, more mature, more, you know, again, been, but that, that's what I would say too. It's helpful to avoid your triggers. Like if you, whatever that may be, that's not the end of that story though. I think you can only do so much of that. It's really, you have, I would probably say that the work has to be done to not only avoid the triggers at first, but then to try to get to where the triggers aren't triggers.
Yeah.
Now you can say, how do you do that? Well, that's where I think for me anyway, it's scripture, prayer and all that kind of stuff, but also too, like you, it may be more than that and it's okay to go see someone about it.
Oh, absolutely. Get counseling if you need it.
I can't stress that enough. Like there's plenty of groups and stuff who deal with, who get together and deal with this kind of thing. And that's specifically what they're for. Don't feel like that's not, it's taboo.
Well,
it's not.
And another thing too is, and I think we forget the most powerful weapon we have is our marriage. And what I mean by that is I can talk to my wife. I can say, hey, you know, is this okay? And I will get honest feedback from my wife, but I have an open enough relationship with her where if there is a question or a desire or something going on within me, I can speak out about it and know that I'm in a safe space. Right. So one of the places that I would work on that with is your relationships. Cause a lot of married men struggle with lust. And a lot of it comes from them feeling ashamed of certain desires. There shouldn't be any shame, but there should be an openness between you and your spouse to discuss these things. One of the things that I've really found within the church that's bothered me a lot is if you're in the church, sex is still taboo in most churches. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to get into it. A lot of them don't provide any kind of counseling that helps with it because they feel like that is waters that if they get into, that somehow they're going to be seen as participating in immorality.
Yeah,
that is not the case.
Yeah.
You should have an open enough relationship with your wife where if you have something in your head, no matter how asinine it may seem to you or ridiculous or over the top, you can talk about it.
Right.
And it may be that she's like, yeah, you're cracked out. You know, this is not a good idea. But that helps you dealing with that particular issue. If your marriage is such where you can't have those communications, I would suggest that both of you together find a counselor that can help you guys reach that point, right? Where you can sit down and have an open conversation about these things and there's no shame and there's no guilt. And it's just part of building that stronger faith-driven relationship, right? A lot of times those lustful and I don't know, because of course it depends on the conversation, inappropriate thoughts, that should be something that you and your spouse should be able to openly talk about.
Agreed. I mean, and also too, I think if your marriage is in a good spot, biblically, spiritually, physically, mentally, that's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, if your marriage isn't, then you need to work on that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you're not at the place where you can talk about some things, you kind of need to work on that because I think your marriage needs some help and you got to put some work into that. Right. Yeah. So I think there's that. I think that it for men, besides just working together throughout your life with your spouse, but like, look, if a Disney cartoon turns you on, shut off Disney. Yeah. if you can't turn on Netflix without seeing something that flips a trigger, get rid of Netflix.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If going to a certain website, even if it's not technically adult, if that causes you something, block it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? This is what you do. You know, for me, this has been a challenge because I mean, I'm a technical guy and I've done this stuff professionally for years. So it really doesn't matter what I do. I know every which way around it. So I have, you know, but now that not to say I don't, do stuff. I really must tell you all that your children will be in danger of all kinds of things and you must put filters and stuff on.
And they will be bombarded.
It's
regardless.
Yeah. It doesn't, you got to,
The biggest algorithm in things like Instagram and TikTok and Facebook is not age, and the likes that you put in, it's male or female. It's the images that they send to you are based on your gender. So when males sign up for things like Instagram and TikTok, a lot of these videos come through of just obnoxious, whether it be women who are out there trolling or whatever it might be, that stuff's going to come to them because that's part of the algorithm.
Okay. One big, since we're on technology, we've got to talk about AI real quick. I watched a video about how you could create your own AI influencer. Okay.
Yeah.
Which I don't care, whatever, create your own, but you could go farther than that and have a, have it do explicit things by doing a couple additional steps. It's not hard to do. It's rather easy and it's all AI.
Yeah.
Okay. That is not okay.
No.
Let me just make that very clear.
Creating a surrogate for your desires is not okay.
It doesn't matter if that's a cartoon, it's painted, it's created by a computer. That's not your wife.
Yeah.
That's still not okay. Keep in mind, and I want, we should work towards our thoughts being changed, not just our actions. So, I mean, this is where Christ was. It's not that you lash out. It's that you thought to lash out.
Yeah.
It's not that you lusted for that woman and you acted on it. It's that you thought.
The thought led you to that action.
Yes. Thoughts are what we should seek to clean.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's AI, if it's a painting or drawing or whatever, that's not okay. And you'll see more and more of that from now and forever. I mean, cause that will become more prevalent.
Yeah.
Also I will say that there is many, 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 many stories, many testimonies, I should say, of adult actors, actresses and stuff it's not good. It's not like these are, it's just not what you think.
Yeah.
So, just look, I would just say that for any of that kind of stuff, just understand that it doesn't matter what it is, what the content is. If it's in that nature, it's not okay.
Yeah.
I sent my wife this the other day because on Instagram, one of my suggested reels was an AI generated. What was it? It was just like almost like a Viking looking AI generated, had like, you know, scantily clad or whatever. It just, but it looked really, I mean, it was incredibly well done, right?
Yeah.
And I sent it to her. I said, this is what will just be astronomically successful in bringing down walls and stuff because it's not real people.
Yeah.
You can generate these all day long.
Yeah.
So look, it's a big problem. They even take cartoon characters, which I didn't know well, I guess I should have assumed that, but you know, any of the Disney princesses or whatever are now being used in not so childlike manners.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
There's so much, there's so many different ways it's going on right now. It's unbelievable.
So that's what I mean. You, if you're not tech savvy, you find someone who is, and to give you some tips and things to do, because you gotta get rid of that stuff. Don't even let it into your house.
Yeah.
And that's, but yeah, it's just crazy, man. I don't know. There's even on Netflix now. I tried to watch this one cartoon called Twilight of the Gods, because I saw somewhere where it had actually had Jesus in it or something. It was like a Viking show, but they referenced Christ in it or something like that, right? And towards the end of it or something. But it's very explicit.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I shut it off.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. When it got to there was one particular thing. It was like full frontal. No. Yeah. I shut it off.
Even if it's a cartoon.
No. I shut it off.
Yeah.
And it was okay. Now I get it. You know, people trying to be artistic, I guess. But anyway, it's everywhere. And for us as biblical minded men, we just got to keep our eye on the eternal place, not on our current place, and look to that. In whatever we do, there's a good thing that Paul Washer said. Everything the world or Satan can offer someone will be worthless and will rot in your gut, but it is counterfeit to what God has for you. And yeah, that includes the immoral content and all that kind of stuff, the explicit stuff. So I mean, just understand it. It doesn't have it's a very quick pleasure kind of thing. It's not a lasting positive impact on anybody. It does change the way you think. Yeah. So there's that. Also, if you struggle out and about, I get it. I don't see how you couldn't be a red-blooded male. It's all about just making sure your mind is focused on the right thing. That'll help tremendously. So if you're not in your Bible, if you're not praying, you're not going to get there. That has to be part of it right there.
Agreed.
So there's a bunch of passages I'll put into the description that are very relevant to what we're talking about, and they're all over the place. So I'll make sure I put them there, because they're in the context of what we're speaking to.
Yeah.
They're not, and I will say, as far as the context goes, it's not like they're not cultural. They're not anything like that. It's very applicable to every time. They're statutes that are applicable. So
I sent you links.
I know, I have links from you, dude.
I know, you actual sources. I did my job.
I can't believe it.
Anyway, like, subscribe, argue, post, whatever you feel like doing. But you can, if you hit that subscribe button, it would be helpful. But we won't beg. Will we?
No. To our podcast people.
Yeah.
What's up? Yeah, there's quite a lot of people who actually listen to this on a podcast form.
Yeah.
Rather than the YouTube channel. So,
which I'm cool. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, to our podcast folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in and being a part. We do this because we love to do this. Like, we want to be a source for people to know that you can live in this world in a way that isn't of the world.
But disclaimer, we're just men.
Yeah, we're just dudes.
There's no certificate of authority other than just what we've been given by God.
That's right.
So, yeah, we're just entertainment purposes.
Yeah. Disclaimer. I don't know. You're pretty entertaining, right?
I can be.
Yeah.
Especially when I sound like, you know, Barry White.
I know.
Let's get it on. My wife really likes it. But it will only be temporary, I'm sure, as soon as my sinus thing goes away.
You got to practice, man.
No, I'm not.
No. Hey, baby.
I know. Hey, baby. But again, it doesn't come out like that. It comes out like, you know, some, you know, 70-year-old farmer who's been smoking Marlboro Reds for a pack a day for
40 years.
Yeah. Rawr, rawr. Like, I swallowed some gravel and I didn't gargle it, you know.
Well,
I know.
All right. Well, I think we got another one in the books, Reg.
We do. Appreciate it.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.